Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
None of that today, thank God. And we're broadcasting live out here at the scene of the crime from last year, Wild Ridge Golf Course. It'll be a year tomorrow, as a matter of fact, that happened. So that we had a little bolt of lightning that made some news, and, you know, all is good. So, but we're back here in Wild Ridge, back here in front of the same tables we were at. And today, if you follow me on Instagram, today, picture perfect. I did the Dikembe Mutombo finger waggle today at the weather, but picture perfect sky. A couple of high wispy clouds, blue skies today, not a rain cloud in sight. And they're getting ready to tee off now on the Junior Achievement Golf outing here. And we've been coming out here, I don't know how many years now we've been doing this, but a perfect, perfect venue. This Wild Ridge is a we go to Turtleback. Turtleback up in Rice Lake is underrated and maybe one of those hidden gems. Wild Ridge out here in Eau Claire is just a beautiful, beautiful golf course. We get a chance to go to a lot of these cool places. And thanks to WAYY and Sports Talk 105.1 out here for bringing us back again this season. So we appreciate it. And Joe, I know you like that. Anytime you can drop some Caddyshack into the program, that's always welcome. So whether it happens to be at my expense or not, that's fantastic. I'll take that any day of the week. Let's do this. When you talk, by the way, we'll talk about the fans golf outing. Speaking of that, coming up here shortly, because they do have our flagship station out of Milwaukee. They have a tremendous golf outing that benefits Give Kids the World Village, and we'll talk about that coming up. We want you to get involved. Go to 1057fmthefan.com and find that golf outing. And like I said, we'll give you some more details. The Packers tonight getting ready to take on the Baltimore Ravens. So this is what I'm looking for. Because people always say, well, how do you watch the game? What are you paying attention to, okay? Well, the first thing you're going to pay attention to tonight is the guys that didn't play last week, okay? I mean, there's going to be a lot of players. I mean, you're going to see Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams. You're going to see Jair Alexander and Josh Jones, Jamal Williams. I mean, you go through the whole list of guys that didn't play, and you're going to see them in uniform tonight. Za'Darius Smith, obviously. You're going to look for Blake Martinez to be back, you know, so all these different guys are going to be back on the field tonight. That's the first thing. You just want to see how these guys begin to knock the rust off. The second thing that I'm looking for, and there's some individuality here, okay? I'm looking to see for guys to either get better from what they did in the last game. So I'm looking to see if DeShone Kizer, when he gets his opportunity, does he make the most of it? Does he pick up where he left off? He had a really solid drive to end the second quarter last Thursday. Does he pick up where he left off, or does he go back to struggling, missing throws, having happy feet, bolting out of the pocket too quickly? And I'm also looking for Tim Boyle. Tim Boyle only threw five passes, three of them receptions, and two for touchdowns. So does Tim Boyle pick up where he left off? And does he continue to play extremely well? I'm also looking for the wide receivers because we know it's Davante Adams, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Geronimo Allison, Jake Kumerow, that kind of thing. Okay, but does Allison play well? Does MVS play well? Are they on the same page? Who does Aaron Rodgers go to? Does he start going to Davante Adams right away? And does he focus there or not? Equanimeous St. Brown. Jamon Moore. Does Jamon Moore catch the football? Because he knows he's on a bubble. You heard him talk about it earlier this week. He knows he's on a bubble. So does he come back and catch the football? Ty Summers, does he come back? Does Ty Summers come back and pick up where he left off and play well? I mean, 10 tackles last week. He was all over the place. Does he come back and play well? You know, now I'm looking for the likes of, Kenny Clark, Montrevious Adams, Dean Lowry. You start talking about the guys up front. I want to see, does Preston Smith play well? I want to see, does your first-round draft choice play well? Because he needs to. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of things that you can look at and say, okay, are guys stepping up, playing better, getting better? Are they understanding it better? That type of thing. So that's just a few things. Also, last week, the only flaw in special teams that you had was that you had Mason Crosby kick one out of bounds. And I don't know if that was on purpose or not. I don't think I heard anybody this week ask him that specific question. So I'm wanting to find out if indeed he did it on purpose or if he's, you know, back to being good. Maybe it was a mishit, because that was really the only mistake special teams-wise. Other than that, you know, both guys split the uprights. Both guys did what they were supposed to do, and everything else was good. So, I mean, special teams, we didn't really get a great look at special teams last week, so I'm going to look a little bit closer to that. But just you're just trying to soak it all in. You know what I mean? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Give us a shout again, 855-830-8648 on the Milwaukee Admirals, hashtag Admirals50 hotline. The talk line, give us a buzz. But that's kind of what I'm looking for. If you want to chime in any other way, you can do it. You can certainly go over to Bill Michaels at BillMichaelsSports.com and the Wendy's Fresh Never Frozen email inbox. You can find us at radio.com. Take us everywhere. That's a way to kind of listen to the show and get ready to chime in that way. Facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow is another way. And you can get a hold of Radio Joe as well over on Twitter at Radio Joe Sports. So what are you looking for coming up tonight? What are you looking for tonight? Give us a shout. This one's from Sal. Sal writes in the Wendy's email inbox, Fresh Never Frozen. He said, a couple of things I'm looking for specifically. One, to see if Aaron Rodgers changes the play at the line of scrimmage. Sal, I almost started with that. But unless you see him actually do it, where he steps away and begins to change the play, do you know which plays he does and doesn't change? So I agree with you, but we may not know every play that's ran according to the call versus not. Sometimes it's very obvious, okay? But sometimes it's not. So I'm interested more in the post-game presser between himself and Matt LaFleur to see what was done at the line of scrimmage, because that's where a lot of eyes and ears are going to be. I will admit that. Okay, so you are correct. Sal also says, I want to see the guys play well, Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith. I want them to impress me. Okay. I'm with you. I want to be impressed as well. He also goes on to say, I want to see what the defensive backfield looks like. Do you think that Kevin King is going to get on the field? That's a great question. Coming back from that hammy, I don't know if he was at practice 2 days ago or not. That's one thing I didn't ask. So, I wish I could give you an honest answer, but I don't know. And that's terrible that I don't know that, but I don't. So I will try to find out for you. Maybe I'll text Mike Clemens real quick and see if he's got any information, because Mike usually is the guy that has all the information when it comes to something like that, because Mike's there more often than not. But that's a great question. I would love to see Kevin King out there, but Kevin King, if you do play him, you know, I mean, yeah, It put it this way, if he's good to go, he's good to go. You play him. If he's not, then, you know, obviously you're not going to dress him. You're going to wait for that hamstring issue to completely heal and be ready to go for the regular season, because that's when you need him. But I agree with you. I would love to see Kevin King out there. He also goes on to say, I want to see Adrian Amos. How does he conduct himself in the secondary? Because I think he's going to be the new captain of the defense. Adrian Amos is, when we had Hub Arkish on earlier, Hub Arkish had said that Adrian Amos is not going to be an interception machine. He's just not. You look at his numbers throughout his career, he's not that guy. But he is a pretty short tackler. He is pretty good about being in the right place at the right time when it comes to manning his own position and making sure that guys around him are in the right place at the right time. He's a guy, put it this way, you don't have to worry about. You know what I mean? So if you're Darnell Savage Jr., if you're Raven Green, if you're Josh Jones, or anybody else in that secondary, Adrian Amos knows what he's doing. So everybody else, just go do your thing. So while he may not be this spectacular player, he allows everybody else to just do their job. And the only way a defense works is if you just do your job. If you're worrying about doing your job and somebody else's job, you end up faltering at your job and you can't cover their job, which means both positions begin to fail. So he allows you to do your job. He's not spectacular. He's not, you know, some pick guy that's coming in from the Chicago Bears. That's not it. But he allows you to do your job. So secondary-wise, he knows where he's supposed to be, and he's got that knowledge. He's got that vet experience. He knows this system. So I'm just wondering how much better a guy like Darnell Savage or Josh Jones or even Tremont Williams, if they play him at all at safety, Raven Green. We saw Raven Green strip a football. Do we get another couple of turnovers out of this defense? Because that's something they were specifically working on. So there's a lot of things that I'm kind of paying attention to, and I completely agree. Sal, appreciate the email. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We're broadcasting live out here in Eau Claire, Wild Ridge Golf Course, for the Junior Achievement Golf Outing. Thanks to our fine affiliate, WAYY, who brings us out here each and every year. Later tonight, going to be at Loopy's High Shore Supper Club. Tonight is the cigar dinner, and really looking forward to that. And then do not forget tonight, also after the game, right here on these very network stations, you are going to hear the Uptown Motors Green and Gold postgame show. I'll be here. Gary Ellison will be back in our flagship station studios, and we'll be bringing you all the postgame reaction, taking your calls, emails, tweets, everything. Right after the Green Bay-Baltimore game, so make sure you're listening. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. It's where they believe in better for 45 years. They've been catering parties from 10 to 10,000. Go ahead, call them, and then you go ahead and enjoy your party. That's the way they do it. They've got party subs, soup, salad, sandwiches, chips, whatever it is, desserts. They've got it. They've got it. So make sure that you give our friends at Cousin Subs a call or give them a shot. If you got a big sales meeting coming up and want to bring in a bunch of subs, they can do that for you as well. Go to CousinSubs.com. Remember, they're catering. They are the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We've got more from Eau Claire right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We are back. We are broadcasting live here at the Wild Ridge Golf Course in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and thanks to everybody for coming by. Mark and Steve, who just stopped by to say hello, and Jacob, who listens to us each and every day. Brian, who came over, and, I couldn't go golfing with him. He said they had somebody that didn't show up in their foursome, wanted me to go golfing with him. I couldn't. I appreciate the offer, but I'm sure that they're going to enjoy the day. You can't get much better weather than this when it comes to playing golf. And thanks specifically, I got to give a shout-out to the Altoona Police Department. They just tweeted me, and they said, when you get off the air, come on over. They want to give me a ride-along. I might do that. I got about 3 to 4 hours to kill in between the time that I leave here, and then I have to go over to a Loopy's High Shore Supper Club for the cigar dinner tonight. I might do that. I might go do the ride-along. So Kevlar me up. I'm ready to go. So I figure if I can't get knocked out by, like, a lightning strike, maybe I'd take one in his shoulder or something, you know? Do something like that. Just get into it, you know? I'd do that. I wouldn't mind that.
Did you see that? Miracle, eh?
Thanks to the Altoona Police Department for giving us a shout-out as well. 855-830-8648. Hey, I'd mentioned the Fan golf outing. The Fan of Milwaukee, our 105.7 FM, the Fan flagship station. Give Kids the World golf outing is coming up, and it's going to be in September this year, a little bit later than normal. But I want you to get signed up. It is a tremendous day. It's for a wonderful, wonderful cause. And in addition to that, it is it's a great outing. It's a lot of fun, a ton of local celebrities that are going to be there, and we always have a blast. You get some great stories, some, you know, tearjerkers as well for some of these kids who need our help, but that's the reason we're doing it, right? It's the Perkins Bakery, Restaurant and Bakeries, 105.7 FM, the Fan Charity Golf Outing, and the best part about it is it's at Western Lakes Golf Club. I've known Greg Essig and his wife and that family for years and years and years, and Greg, they run a tremendous outing. They've got a great venue up top for the dinner and such afterwards. A nice little bar over there as well. But it's just a really good course. It's a fun course to play. A lot of water. The water always eats my ball wherever I'm at. But I have a blast every time I go out there. So we get a chance to go to Western Lakes Golf Course out in Pewaukee. So if you can, the 2019 charity golf outing is coming up September 25th. September 25th. Get registered today. Go to 1057fmthefan.com and join us. Won't you please, please join us. So what are you looking for tonight? What are you looking for when you're paying attention to this evening for the Green Bay Packers against the Baltimore Ravens? What are you looking for tonight? Jay Zilla tweets us, at @Bill_Michael, says, good showing from Kizer and Boyle. Get some level of confidence heading into the season that in case we need a backup, that we've got a good system in place. If they're both great, might open up a trade option in a few weeks as well. Charles writes, I'm going to be at Monk's tonight drinking some suds, watching the Packers game. I see you walk in there tonight. I'm running like hell. I don't want to be in the building and get struck by lightning. Thank you, Charles, very much. Marcus writes, looking for Aaron Rodgers to have a big game. Come out and light it up. Give us some confidence. They have not looked good so far in practice. I was at two training camp sessions. That was one of the things that Mark Daniels, who just joined us a little while ago from WNFL in Green Bay, was kind of talking about. He said, hey, look, we're just looking for the offense to play pretty well. The offense has not been all that in a bag of chips, I guess, is the best way to put it when it comes to training camp so far. As a matter of fact, the defense has gotten the best of them more often than not. So tonight, maybe that's what you're looking for, you know? Maybe that's what you're looking for. You're looking for, you know, some more stability out of the offense, consistency. Obviously, you're going to be looking for speed and tempo, because that's one of the things that Matt LaFleur's been preaching is speed and tempo. We know that traditionally, we've talked about it time and again, it drives me bananas when they're ready to snap the ball as time winds down and you're looking at 3-2-1 hike. You know, I mean, defense is teeing off because they know time's coming, you know. So anyway, I am looking for, you know, pace of play tonight for this offense as well. That I agree. This one's from Drew. Drew says, hey, guys, love listening to the program. He is here in Eau Claire. He said, I saw you today in the old – you're right. I was on the Old Abe Trail. Got up about 6:30 this morning and took my bike out. He said, I wanted to say hi, but you looked intense, so I didn't want to stop you, but I wanted to let you know that I'm looking for Aaron Rodgers to have a big game tonight and be on the same page with Matt LaFleur. Do you think the body language will be different this year as opposed to what we saw last year in the beginning of the season? Last year, the start of the season was not great, and I agree with you, the body language of Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that was one of the things. I remember they had a video out, kind of a meme, of all the different faces of Aaron Rodgers. Last year, remember, I think it was Colin Cowherd who did this whole montage on the, you know, almost the angry little kid face that they were making fun of from Aaron Rodgers with all the different looks and bad body language and stares and, you know, come ons and always blaming everybody else for all the ineptitude. So, no, I would agree with you. If something does not go right, look, I said this before, I'll say it again. You only figure out how good or bad things are when they face adversity. If they come out and they smoke everybody, then things are really good, okay? But if they come out and they have a little up, have a little down, have a little up, have a little down, during the down times when they face that adversity, that's when you find out how good or bad the relationship is or where the frustration level lies. So I agree. I'm looking to see if there is any adversity, what the reaction is. Because fantastic to pay attention to that, because that's going to be something that I don't think that anybody's really paying attention to the defense too much tonight. I think everybody's paying attention to Aaron Rodgers and that offense. And the second thing is, to be honest, I think that everybody's paying attention to the body language, to Aaron Rodgers coming off the field. Is Matt LaFleur working with him? Is he sitting down with him on the sidelines, much like Andy Reid did with Patrick Mahomes, even though Mahomes is coming into, you know, that young year, that rookie year is where, you know, Aaron Rodgers is a seasoned veteran. Everybody's still looking for that relationship just because of what went down last year. So I completely agree with you. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. BJ writes, guys, this is the biggest night of the Packers in the new regime, because I think tonight is going to tell us whether or not that relationship is for real. I know people are sick of talking about it, but there is something underlying there with Aaron Rodgers. Otherwise, why open your mouth at all and put your coach in a bad light? Aaron has become so accustomed to ruling the roost that he now backhandedly says he's the boss. I don't believe him for a second. Aaron knows who the boss truly is. No, I didn't see his face, but I would say that I would believe anyway that Aaron knows. Aaron's for everybody wanted to poo-poo the Tyler Dunn article, okay? When the verbiage that came out that said that Aaron was told by Mark Murphy, don't be the problem. I very much believe that. I know people don't, and you don't want to believe it, but I very much believe it. Because that particular statement, that phrase, that scenario, you don't make that up. Okay, you don't pull that out of your rear end. That happened. Or he was told by somebody really high up close to that situation that happened. Now, it looks bad for the quarterback and it looks bad for Mark Murphy, so they both had to backpedal. But I'm telling you, I believe that. So, no, Aaron knows who the boss is. So I don't think that Aaron is backhandedly saying in any way, you know, hey, he's the boss. You know, I think he genuinely thinks that there's a good working relationship there. Matt LaFleur went on to say, look, I'm not his boss. We're working together. I don't look at it that way. I'm just a head coach. You know, he's just responsible for the team. I think he's done from where he was when he came in at his opening press conference to where he is now, I think Matt LaFleur has grown immensely. Would you agree? 855-830-8648. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. Do not forget, no Wednesday Night Live this week, obviously. Next week, they get it going again. And then the week after that is our charity event. That's when the Toys reunite, the original band. And they're going to be there on Wednesday Night Live. And don't forget, also, the end of the month on the 31st, that Saturday night, Jackal with Jesse James Dupree. The band is coming to town, and they are going to be playing at the Budweiser Pavilion the weekend of the Milwaukee Rally. All the musical lineups, go to Budweiser Pavilion, find them on Twitter, find them on Facebook, and you can see the lineup and the nights that the music gets going. So check it out there. It's all brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. When we come back, like I said, we're broadcasting live out here in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, at Wild Ridge Golf Course for the Junior Achievement Golf Outing, but we're going to go to Baltimore, our buddy. Scott Garceau from 105.7 The Fan down there in Baltimore is going to be joining us. The Scott G Show, 105.7. You can find him on Twitter, Scott G Show, 105.7. Go to Twitter and you can follow him there. But we're going to talk with Scott about this Baltimore Ravens team. Coming up next in the Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Tell me how to live my life. Who are you to tell me if it's black or white? Mama, can you hear me try to understand?
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you are on board. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Neumel Medical. Neumel treating guys, ED, all across the state, beyond the borders. They're down in Illinois, down in Chicago. Have one in Milwaukee, have one in Green Bay. Call them 414-455-4451. Can't do it unless you call. They have a 98% success rate. Don't forget, they do have low T treatments for more energy, better mental clarity, better mood, better stamina. The all-in-one weight loss program, it works. I'm telling you, it works. All you got to do is pick up the phone. Call the medical experts over at Neumel Medical, 414-455-4451. 5-1. To find out what's happening in Baltimore as the Packers are in town to take on the Ravens, Scott Garceau, he is from 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, our good buddy down there. Scott, how you been, my friend?
What's up, Bill?
Doing well. Tell us more about this Baltimore Ravens team, because faces are changing and times are changing, yeah. And such, so give me the lowdown.
Well, it's a new look. Lamar took over about halfway through last year, and they've tried to build an offense around him, and we're going to see. I think the biggest question for me is to see if he can take the next step throwing the football. We know he's dangerous running it, and you know, he might run for 800 or 1,000 yards this year. But two things: can you stay healthy for 16 games doing that? And then can he get better in the passing game? Because there were times last year where guys were open and he was skipping at 4 yards in front of them, and sometimes 8 yards over their head. He's looked a lot better in camp this year, worked a lot in the offseason on his throwing mechanics, but you got to see if that works. Maybe tonight in the first quarter against a first-team Packer defense, get a little bit of a glimpse, because as you know, you don't get to play a lot in the preseason, probably play maybe a half in game three, and you don't see anybody in game four.
So with the changing of the guard at the quarterback position, give me the optimism for this team, how far he can take them, what his ceiling would be.
Well, I mean, he won a whole bunch of games down the stretch last year and got him into the playoffs. And my guess is every defensive coordinator that has the Ravens on their regular season schedule is saying, we got to stop the run. Because part of his magic last year was they won games by running the ball and chewing up clock and really resting the defense. And I think their defense will be real good this year. There's a little question on the pass rush. You know, they lost Za'Darius Smith and Terrell Suggs, so they lost 15, 16 sacks there. They've got to find a way to replace it, but I think their secondary might be one of the best and deepest in the NFL. So I think the defense is still a top 10, maybe a top 5 defense. Can they still run the ball? Because I think every coordinator is saying, we got to commit extra people to stopping the run against this team and make Lamar Jackson beat us throwing the football. And then the question will be, can he do that?
How much criticism did he take coming out of the postseason, though? Because there was times, I mean, I remember watching that game and listening to the broadcast, and they kept saying, you got to go with Flacco, go with the experienced guy. And they stuck with Jackson the entire way. He just couldn't move the football.
They did, and the offense was horrible. He was horrible. Everybody around him was horrible. And then he made some plays late when the game was kind of out of hand and they went helter-skelter and they just let him run around and make plays and throw the football. He scored a couple of late touchdowns. But San Diego had played them a couple of weeks earlier, and that's a good defense, and they made some adjustments, and they slowed down that run. And Lamar, he also had an issue last year turning the football over, fumbling. And he had some fumble issues in college, but he had some – I mean, it's one thing when a guy comes off the edge on the blind side and rocks you and the ball comes out, but there were times where he was just moving in the pocket untouched and the ball would come out. So haven't seen much of that in the preseason or in training camp, and you hope he's better in that area, but that's another area that people will be watching.
Wanted to also ask you, defensively speaking now, how much do you think they're going to show? And the reason I ask this is because Aaron Rodgers and company, they've got this new offense they're trying to kind of unveil. They want to go with a higher tempo. So how much defensively do you unveil to put pressure on the quarterback, if at all? I mean, we all know it's a preseason game. You know what I mean?
A little different. What I saw last week against Wink Martindale, when he took over as defensive coordinator last year, he said from day one, we're going to attack. We're coming after you. And for the preseason, I thought they blitzed a ton. They shut out Jacksonville, but they got after the quarterbacks. Now, they didn't play Nick Foles, so they were backups and rookies. But they blitzed. Because a lot of times this time of year, teams won't blitz a lot. Offense is pretty vanilla. I think last week, at least, they did what they're going to do. I'm sure they'll have some wrinkles when it's week one against the Dolphins, but it wasn't like they sat back and rushed four. They came after you. They came off the edge. They came with five. They came with six at times. So I would suspect that's the way they play, and they're kind of playing that way in the preseason.
Talking with Scott Garcia, 105.7 The Fan, over there in Baltimore. Now, when we talk about Aaron Rodgers and company, what do they expect maybe from this Packers team? Because nobody had a chance to see him last week. So are they expecting this thing to just come in and try to open it up against them? Or are they thinking, you know, because Matt LaFleur is more committed to the run, you're going to see more of the ground and pound? What do you think coming into this game tonight?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think you kind of look within and say, we're going to do what we do. They obviously know that they're going to see Aaron Rodgers for a quarter or so, and he's one of the elite quarterbacks in the game. So I think they understand that part. But I think it's kind of like, hey, this is who we are. We get after quarterbacks. You know, if we can't get you with five, we'll come with five or six. The Ravens secondary is really good. We were talking the other day, and I said I think they got 10 guys that could start for a lot of teams. They're good and they're deep. Marlon Humphrey's on the verge of becoming one of the elite corners in the game. Jimmy Smith's been banged up a little this week. I'm not sure how much we'll see of him, but they're real good back there. And when you add some quality players, and they've done it on offense, they added Mark Ingram. You look on the defensive side, Tony Jefferson's the veteran back there at safety, and then you throw Earl Thomas in there. That could be a big difference maker. If Earl Thomas is healthy, he's one of the best safeties in the game. And Eric Weddle had lost a step or two. He was still smart back there, knew where to be, knew how to get guys in position, but he didn't have any interceptions last year. I think Earl Thomas is a game changer. He can make those kind of plays that can turn games around.
What is the division look like? Because there's a lot of people saying that the Browns are now the team to beat. Cincinnati's in flux.
Yeah, sure.
Pittsburgh's lost their weapons. So it's all the Browns. I don't. It's hard for me to say that. First of all, coming from Cincinnati,
yeah.
And then I think it's just not in our nomenclature to say, by the way, the Browns are good, but they are. I mean, if Baker Mayfield is the real deal and he proved a lot last year, then that's a good football team.
Well, my take on it, I think the Bengals are the new Browns for a year or two. And they might get it going, right? And Andy Dalton's capable at quarterback. But I think the Bengals are the fourth team in this division. And I think, in my opinion, I've said all along, I think you can take the other three and shuffle the cards. I'm not sure how they're coming out. Because I'm not giving up on Pittsburgh because they lost a couple of playmakers. Ben's still the quarterback. They got three All-Pros on the offensive line. They got a tradition that says they're usually in the hunt. So I don't think they're going away. Ben had more passing yards last year than he ever had in his career. So I know they lost their stud receiver, but they seem to develop receivers. And Juju had a big year last year. I think they're going to be in the fight. I think the Ravens' defense and running game will keep them in the fight. If Lamar takes a step up in the passing game, they could win the division. They won it last year. And the Browns are real. Now, here's what I think about the Browns, though. First-year coaching staff, a lot of big personalities. If that happens to go south, Freddie Kitchens and his staff will get tested with some of those personalities. But they've added a ton of talent. I think Baker Mayfield's the real deal. We saw him in here in that last game where he carved up a good Ravens defense. I think they finally found their quarterback for the first time since they came back in the league in 99.
Now I know the division, like you said, is kind of shuffle the deck. At what point does because Ben's had injuries that have nagged him for a long, long time. Not that I see him slowing down, but I don't see a lot of playmakers around him. The offensive line is not much better. As a matter of fact, I think it got a little bit worse. Ben is a statue back there. He's not a scrambler. I know he's tough to bring down, but what are they going to do offensively? I mean, and defensively speaking, they're good. They're not great. They've got some guys, but I just don't know if I put a lot of stock. Other than – and Mike Tomlin, there was a lot of talk about them wanting Mike Tomlin out of there, and there were some guys that stood up and said, no, we want to keep our head coach, but he's been there as long as almost Mike McCarthy was here, and sometimes that message, as we found out, begins to wear. So this is a big – to me, this is a transition year for Pittsburgh.
I do, and I think it's a big year for Tomlin. Pittsburgh doesn't have a tradition of being quick on the trigger when it comes to head coaches. They tend to give their guys some rope. I think Ben's got maybe two good years left. The injury factor, obviously you get into your mid-30s, that becomes more of an issue. I think their offensive line is good. They got a spot or two that might be questionable, but they got three Pro Bowlers on that offensive line. And James Conner ran the ball pretty well last year. He wasn't Le'Veon Bell, but he was good enough. I think Ben will make plays in the passing game. I think the bigger test is their defense. Secondary isn't real good. Now, they added, I think Devin Bush is going to be a terrific middle-of-the-defense linebacker that Pittsburgh hasn't had since Ryan Shazier got hurt. I think he will help in that area tremendously. But I think their secondary is a big question mark. And in this league with balls flying the way they are, you better be pretty good back there on the corners, and I'm not sure how good they are. So I think that's kind of the question mark with them. But I don't see a major. I think 10-6 might get this division. I don't see anybody being better than 11-5 tops. But I think they'll be going at it pretty good. And Cincinnati might knock off somebody before you come into this division. And if you were the Ravens, you'd say, okay, let's split with Pittsburgh, right? Get your split there. And then take care of Cincinnati. When Cincinnati was good, even split with Cincinnati and get your sweep with Cleveland, and you're 4-2 in the division. Might be a little tougher now, right? Cleveland's off the mat. They're coming after you. And Cincinnati's not a pushover, although I don't see him winning much more than 5 or 6 games this year.
Hey, before I let you go, I know when you talk about, you know, the Bengals being bad, and obviously, and I agree with you, and knowing where the division is. So starter-wise, how long do your starters really with, you know, not a lot to prove, how long do starters play tonight for Baltimore? Because I know about a quarter is about what we're going to see out of the Packers starters tonight.
My hunch is they kind of match up with the Packers. So if the Packers, I don't think you'd see any Ravens starters in the second quarter. They had a lot of guys that didn't play last week at all. Earl Thomas didn't dress. Mark Ingram, a lot of their frontline players didn't play at all. So I think they'd like to get them in there. They kind of rebuilt this offense. They changed offensive coordinators this year. So Greg Roman's kind of running the offense now, and I think they'd like those. Like to get those guys in there for pretty much a quarter. Maybe if it was horrible, they might keep them in one more series into the second quarter, but I kind of think the Packers and Ravens are playing about the same game tonight, frontline guys, for about a quarter.
Tell me real quick before I let you go about Zadarius Smith.
You know, he had a nice year last year. I don't think he's ever going to be a superstar, but I think he's got a chance to be a solid player. And certainly can contribute in that Packer pass rush. Good guy, works hard, was well-liked in the locker room. I think you got a good one. I think he got too much money, but who does it nowadays,
yeah,
right? That was a heck of a deal he got. And I think the Ravens knew he might get that kind of deal, and they weren't going to be in on that. So, you know, respected him. They did the same thing with C.J. Mosley, their middle linebacker, who got a ton of money from the Jets. I think they just knew there were going to be a couple of guys that would probably be out of their price range. Didn't want to see him go, but didn't want to pay that kind of freight.
Always good to talk, Scott. Look forward to talking to you later
right,
in the
Bill.
Season as well. You be good, Kat, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Take care. All right.
All right, buddy. See ya. There you go, our buddy Scott Garceau. He is with 105.7 FM, The Fan, in Baltimore, and giving us the lowdown. And like he said, same thing a lot of people out of Baltimore said. You got a good guy, hard worker, always going to try, you know, always going to be right there. But he's not a superstar, but he has the ability to continue to get better. But he had his big season in a contract year, and that always makes people nervous, and I completely agree with that sentiment. 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, by all means, go ahead and do so. Stay tuned. We are broadcasting live out here at Eau Claire, the Wild Ridge Golf Course. We've got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Hearing from the defensive back, the veteran defensive back, Tremont Williams, he talks about Lamar Jackson, a guy that he says, hey, look, you hate facing this guy.
You know the ability that he has, the arm talent, the legs, and him just putting you in tough spots throughout the game that is going to put a lot of stress on the guys in the back end. It's going to be hard for guys to get to Lamar. We understand that. So as a back end, we understand that we may have to cover a little longer. Those things come with it, but whenever you face a quarterback like that, it is always tough.
When it comes to the secondary of the Baltimore Ravens, Tremont says, hey, look, they've got a lot of good young players right now, and they believe that the Packers believe that their secondary is ready for the task, too.
We have a lot of depth, most definitely. In past seasons, we had some depth, too, but we have a lot of depth right now from what I've seen.
And when it comes to the expectations for this season, not for us fans, but for that team inside 1265, not being in the postseason for 2 years, he said, look, this is our expectation this year.
We understand from a perspective of the last few years that we haven't gone where we've wanted to go at. Part defense, you know, part just not being able to perform like we expected to perform as a team. But we understand that from a defense perspective, if we can hold up our end of the bargain and play at a championship level, that we'll be there, but, you know, we definitely have to put in the work.
Also, it's got to be a lot more than lip service. You got to show up.
When I say put in the work and the time, I can sit here all day and say that, yeah, we're going to be a great defense if we can do all of that, man. But, I mean, we probably say those things every year, and things unfold the way they unfold, you know. So it's just one of those things that you just have to sit and wait and see how things turn out.
There you go. That's Tremont Williams, getting a little bit from him. When we come back in the next hour, stay tuned. Because we're going to talk with Phil Steele. We're going to talk some college football from Phil Steele's College Football Preview magazine. Also, we'll talk a little Cowboys football for you Cowboys fans. And then I'm looking forward. I'm pumped. Paul Charchian's back from Fanball.com, LeagueSafe.com, our fantasy football guy. He's back to make his weekly appearance. Can't wait for the charge. More of the Bill Michaels Show live out here in Eau Claire at Wild Ridge Golf Course. Coming up next.
Everywhere. in Wisconsin. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.